This is FUV Live Sessions, a podcast brought to you by WFUV in New York City. Each week, we talk to artists in our Bronx studio, and we listen to them play a live set. You'll get to hear the songs and learn about the artist or band. Episodes drop every Monday wherever you listen to podcasts. Be sure to follow the show to stay up to date on all the latest episodes and maybe even to find your next favorite artist or band. And if you like what you hear, make sure that you rate and review the show so other music lovers can find it. This is FUV Live Sessions with Tune Yards. I'm Megan Suma, and I'm here with host Alisa Ali at WFUV. Alisa, this band has such a cool sound. It's so energized, enthusiastic, rhythmic. I also love that this album kind of revolves around this like dance floor liberation. Tell me about the joy that came into Studio A today.
Yeah, this new record is made for the dance floor, I think. And we definitely need to be moving around and dancing and having joy in whatever way, shape, or form we can right now. And it's so great that Tune Yards have brought us this right when we really need it. And I love the record being so, it seems really easy to grasp onto. They're both brilliant musicians and they have a lot of music theory in their heads. And I think that they've kind of tossed out all of the complications and cut right to the heart of it and right where it hits you in the heart and in the places that make you move. So it's a really accessible album. It is really fun. Like all of their albums are very fun. But this one in particular, I mean, a lot of people say this, but it may just be their best yet.
Well, let's get moving. What is the first song that we're going to hear in the session today?
The first song they'll do is Heartbreak, and it is going to fill your hearts with joy. Let's listen now as Tune Yards perform live in Studio A.
Thank you.
a live version of Heartbreak here in Studio A from Tune Yards off the new album Better Dreaming. And my heart is not breaking. It is full because I've got Meryl Garbus in front of me from the band. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you. I'm so happy to be here.
And congratulations on this great new album. It is exactly what we need for these stressful times. And
it's stressful, ain't it?
Oh, my God. But we need this.
Thank you. I needed it, which is why I
made it.
Yeah. Well, especially, yeah. The words were the words that I needed to hear. So I figured, well, I just better sing them and then maybe somebody else will be helped.
And it's interesting, too, because I feel like this music is somehow more direct. Like it's really reaching through. I wonder if it's easier to grasp onto. First of all, let me preface this by saying I've been a fan of yours for a long time and I like all your albums. You're up to this one. This is your sixth album. But I wonder if the accessibility, if I may say that, of these new songs have anything to do with like a simpler kind of rhythm that maybe is coming through your child, picking up on rhythms.
Oh, yes, we do have a child now. I think you're right. I mean, something like all of these songs, except for the title track, Better Dreaming, which is frankly too frightening for my child. So like, he was like, not this one, not this one. But every other one definitely passed the toddler test for sure. It is interesting. I think it made me, I don't know, you have a child too, right? So like, it's very interesting which music I feel compelled to share with him. Like, oh, I really, really want him to like Talking Heads. So it was interesting to just, a lot of what I really wanted him to hear was, I don't know, music that is accessible. That was like pop music when I was growing up. Yeah. And I think you're right. I think maybe, you know, the allowing ourselves to not complicate music for this record. I think you're right that it probably came from the toddler test. And, you know, what are we don't listen to a lot of kid music in our household. We listen to right now, like The Stones and Buddy Holly, what the Beatles, of course.
Of course.
But yeah, it's been a really cool going back to early, you know, early loves of ours, you know, Nate and I, the music that we were brought up with.
Do you make playlists for your kid?
He makes a playlist. I mean, he's like, I want to listen to Yellow Submarine. And then it goes on the playlist. But yes, we actually have a playlist. I don't know if you play Chris Purica on your station. Chris Purica was the first person to take me on tour as backup singer and fiddle player. And they gave our kid a book called Rock Legends Who Changed the World. It's like a kid's book. And so we made a playlist based on that. It starts with Elvis, which I was like, okay, Chuck Berry was third. And I was like, okay.
I'm not approving of the sequence.
No, exactly. If they had asked me, it would have been different. But Chuck Berry, Aretha Franklin's in there, Jimi Hendrix. You know, it got our kid to really, to be exploring so many different sonic worlds in one playlist. So yeah, I was reading the book and singing the songs, and then we made a playlist, and the rest is history.
You know, when I think about the music that you are influenced by, I just think of everything, because your sonic palette is so wide. With a lot of bands, you can be like, these guys love 90s indie rock, which, you know, you love too.
I do.
I know, I hear that. But there's so much more in your music, and it's just the two of you for this record. This time. And is that a result of like pandemic? And
that's a good question. I think a lot of it was not, you know, our drummer Hamir Atwal, who's an incredible drummer around here, he moved away from the Bay a few years ago. He didn't feel like touring as much anymore, and Nate and I we frankly have so little time to rehearse that since we live in the same household and have childcare at the same time, it became clear that we just needed to kind of see what the duo could do. And you know, when we first started touring, the first tour that we did together was opening for Dirty Projectors.
Oh, that's such a perfect pairing, by the way.
Right? It was amazing. Yes. Thank you. they were a huge hero band of mine when I started Toon Yards. And so that was a huge thing. And they were clubs that were bigger than I'd ever played before. And so I said, I really need a bass player with me. Nate and I had met teaching at a summer camp in New Jersey. And I said, hey, do you want to come along on this tour? And then at the end of that tour, Dave from Dirty Projectors asked us to do another opening slot. And Nate had some jazz gigs with his other band, Beep. And he was like, they were a jazz trio called Beep. And he said, sorry, I have this other tour. And Dave said, if it's not the two of you, then we're not going to do it. I need you there. And thus Nate was in the band. And from then on, yeah. So we played as a duo for such a long time. And we've made music together for so long that it's, I think there's something really special about the two of us having such a musical vocabulary, a fluency with each other. That feels really fun. Yeah.
Yeah. And he's the shy one. So he's not on mic right now.
Yeah. You'd be surprised. He can get verbose, but today I'm here. Yeah. I have the garbus gift of gab, we call it in our family.
I love that. Triple G. Nice. I love that. All right. Well, let's get into another song if we can grab Nate back. This is one that really involved the terrific trio of your family, you, Nate, and your kid, having a dance party along to this song, Limelight, which you'll perform for us live in Studio A.
Baby's all right, shining so bright, put 'em in the limelight. night, the baby was up all night. Baby's all right, shining so bright, put him in the limelight.
A great live version of Limelight here on WFUV. That's Tune Yards, a song off their new album, Better Dreaming, their sixth LP. Congratulations on the record. Thank you for performing that. So I was talking before we got into that live performance about the dance parties that ensue around that song. Can you elaborate?
This song, it just, you know, from the beginning, I think that it came about, I always forget, but it came about as the beat that I was a pretty basic beat that I did on a new drum machine that we were using. And the first part of it was, yeah, 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 yeah. I just really liked that loop. And I brought it home at some early version, and it was just like the right boom, tap, dum, tap, tap, two. And I think Nate put that, you know, whatever baseline he put down early on, it was just the right thing for a toddler to kind of march around the room to. And he kept asking for it. And the first part that we had was the baby's all right part. So he would just say from, you know, one and one, not even two, I think, baby's all right, baby's all right. It was just the demand for it. And I think then at a certain point, as I often do with a lot of our songs, like Water Fountain, for instance, which has been our definitely most successful song. And I was like, this is getting cut from the record. This one's no good.
This is also one of my favorite songs. I love the 2-pound chicken tasting better with friends. That line just like sticks in my head forever. And actually, every time I have chicken, I think about that.
Oh my God, that's awesome. I love that. It does taste better with friends. It doesn't. I don't eat chicken anymore. That's the sad but vegan truth. But but it does. This is all to say that the songs, I think that I'm like, oh, it's too simple. It can't be so, you know, quote unquote, easy to make a song. Right. And I think that's kind of that effortlessness that we're talking about with like more with something accessible where it's like, we'll just go with. And this time we really tried to go with it versus complicating it too much.
And you've mentioned that this is probably the easiest set of songs that have poured out of your band in a long time, if not ever.
Yeah, I think so. I also think that it's interesting. I mean, everything, I don't know about you, but everything right now just seems like borrowed time. Like, I'm like, there's no time to feel self-critical. There's no time to feel self-loathing. There's no time to waste, truthfully. We live in California. There's like, everywhere there's climate emergency. So like, it just feels like while we have a studio and a home and a stable life, relatively, let's go.
Yeah.
So I think there was a lot of that. And also the babysitter is going to be gone in an hour. So we better just finish this old song up. And there's something really nice about that, to have a limitation.
So does that time crunch help you finish things quicker?
For sure. Yeah. And it's good. I mean, you know, with everything, I feel like, well, it turns out we didn't really need that extra time anyway. That extra time was, a lot of the time was spent in these useless self, you know, whatever it is, just too much harping on details and perfectionism and stuff that I actually think costs a song something. Like, for instance, in Limelight, there's a lot in the recorded track. It's very loose. It's like there's weird, you know, if you listen to the stems, if you listen to everything individually, there's like I'm talking in the background. There's like, you know, nothing's on a grid. It's just kind of like ooh, loose. So I feel like that's kind of what kept the spirit of the song there, right? Is like leaving that stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. It's so fun because there's a lot of different places that you can explore and listen to. So it always sounds fresh and innovative. And that's what I love about your music. It really is so innovative. You're going to play one more song for us. And this song fills my heart with so much joy. I have a feeling it's going to be an anthem. Do you ever listen to the songs and you're like, this is the single or this is the... I know everyone's self-conscious about calling one of their own pieces of art a hit, but...
You know... It's interesting you say that. So this was another one that I was like, I can't write a song called How Big Is the Rainbow like that. But those were the words that fell out of my mouth with that. I had the melody and they just kind of fell out. And I was like, yep. I know songwriters talk about like channeling things or whatever, but it's kind of like, yeah, it felt, if when you feel what's in the ether, what's in the culture, what needs to happen. So I honestly take no credit for it. I, Meryl Garbus, would never have written a song called How Big Is the Rainbow. This song was just like it needed to be. So if it is somebody's anthem, I'm very happy. I get goosebumps singing it now because my God, how I feel like I need this song right now. So again, if I need it, that means I hope somebody else out there needs it. And so happy it came into being.
How big is the rainbow? And we are going to get a live version of it done by Tune Yards here on WFUV. Get the new album, Better Dreaming. You will feel much better after listening to their music. And listen to this.
Recognize.
That was Toon Yards performing and in conversation at WFUV in New York City. A big thank you to the band for joining us in our studio and to 4AD. Thanks to our WFUV audio team, including Jim O'Hara, Olivia Grant, James Higgins, and Sophia Derek Palumbo. Our FUV Live studio sessions are engineered by Jim O'Hara. Our associate producers for this episode were Bayan Menjering and Cadiz Salazar. Megan Suma is our executive producer. Our theme music was composed by John Crick. Be sure to follow FUV Live Sessions wherever you get your podcasts so you can listen to new episodes and find your next favorite artist or band. Episodes drop every Monday. You can also catch audio and video of FUV Live Sessions on WFUV.org. FUV Live Sessions is a production of WFUV in New York City. I'm your host, Elisa Ali.